It's a joy to know that you reign, and it's a joy to worship you, the Lamb of God, the precious Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your blood that has purchased us for God. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us, so that you might reign in us and through us in this generation and time. And we worship you. And as we've sung, Lord, we recognize you're reigning no matter what. Thank you, Jesus. Present our lives before you as a living sacrifice. Our bodies, Lord, which is our act of worship. It's our reasonable act of worship. And we pray that you will renew our minds so that we would understand your will in this day that we're living in this time and season. Fill us, Lord, with the knowledge of your will, we pray. That we will walk worthy of you, worthy of the Lamb, worthy of the Lamb, worthy of the King, worthy of our God in this generation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you are our glory and the lifter of our heads. And thank you that you're with us always, even to the end of the age. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's give the Lamb on the throne a round of applause. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Would you be seated? Wonderful time of worship. Wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. And just to begin with, how much I have loved and I know you have loved, for those of you who've been able to join with us in person, meeting together, and for a while that will stop again and we'll go fully online. I'm so glad that we've been able to be with you online for those who haven't been able to come in, and we're so grateful that you're there. We're one body in the Spirit, and we don't see a separate meeting here, but it's been really good for us to have in person, which of course is the will of God, the ultimate will of God. But then soon we will gather again, you guys out there and all of us here, and we will rejoice in the Lord together again. Amen. That's the goal. That's where we're going. That's where we're going. And I have a really strong word today, which I believe is going to be very important for us to understand how to do life in this day of trouble. We are in a day of trouble. There's without question we're going through a season of great trouble. And my heart is sometimes really overwhelmed by what some people are going through, both in the church, although I believe that God will provide and do amazing things for his own people, but also in the world, in and around us, in our community. And we're moved by what we see happening. And for this long season, really, I was talking to Pastor Colin, I feel like we're swimming the channel and we haven't seen shore yet. And I don't ever want to swim the channel. But that we're still going. But you know, the Lord is able to strengthen us with joy, so that even if we're only part way through, we can do it with joy and continue to the end, okay? So that's how the vision isn't just to get through. It's to get through with the power of the Spirit and with joy. The joy that comes only from God. The word that God has laid on my heart for you is that you and I would understand spiritually what's going on. Because so much is information, and it's important, from scientists, governments, medics. It's important that we listen to that information. But as the children of God, we listened to God. Ultimately, He is the voice in our lives. His word is the word. And His word brings understanding to us. And one of the things that God has really laid on my heart is that we would understand how not to fail spiritually in this time. How not to fail. Okay, this is a really important word. So that we can do well, come out even better and stronger and see more of the working of God in our lives. And I want you to know something. We're all a bit like this. We don't often do very much to prevent problems. You know, I can eat what I like, and I know that I'm not doing very much to prevent problems. Because down the road, there's going to be issues if I don't address things now. And spiritually, sometimes I don't think people are aware. And I'm not saying you. I'm not accusing you. I'm just saying I think sometimes we're totally unaware of how God wants us to respond when we're in a day of trouble. And we kind of miss it. We just listen to the news. And we're not really understanding how God wants us to be. Jesus spoke about the issue of the heart being the issue of all. And the seed that is sown in good soil is the heart that is producing and fruitful and will end up glorifying God. But there are other conditions of heart. And you remember the seed, the word that is sown in the soil with thorns, where the cares or worries of this life and desire for other things, those two things, cares and worries in this life and desire for other things, choke the life of God, choke the word, so that we become unfruitful. And that's not the plan of God for us as His people. And Jesus said these things so that we would be aware that there are issues in our hearts sometimes that we need to make sure, check out, that everything's okay. And also in Scripture, the Scriptures are so important in terms of the people who didn't do well as the people who did. Because they speak to us about what not to do. I'd rather learn from their mistakes than make the mistake for myself. And there are also these amazing examples too, which we all like, the great examples, but sometimes I think we ignore the ones that went wrong. And I just want to bring some understanding of why sometimes people get cold spiritually. Why they cool off, back off, and walk away. And say to you and to me, let's learn the lesson so that it won't be what we do. Now, you know the Christmas carol, and I've mentioned that word, and I wish I didn't have to. But you know Charles Dickens' story, The Christmas Carol, is about a man called Scrooge. And Scrooge is this great big old mean character, where all he wants to do is work, 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 because all he wants is to amass money, 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 money. And he had a friend, a business partner, called Marley. And Marley had died 7 years before. And Marley wanted to speak to his friend. Now, of course, it's a story. This isn't doctrine. He wanted to speak to his friend. So he said, I'm going to ask to send three ghosts because where I am now, because of the life I've lived, I don't want my friend to go through it. That's love. And so he sends these three ghosts, past, present, and future. The ghost of things to come is the ghost that really woke Scrooge up. And you remember when this ghost presented an awful outcome. in the future for Scrooge. At that point of seeing ahead, he said, woke up the next morning, I've got time to change. I can do life different from now on. And he woke and he saw it's a new day. I have time to live differently. Do you remember? It's a powerful story, really. And that's what the biblical characters, particularly in the Old Testament, some of them in the New, that say, you've got time to make some changes. And I remember the morning when Scrooge woke up. Do you know, he had a smile on his face. Brilliant, I've got an opportunity to be different so that my future is different. And that's what I believe God wants us to see today, to understand how we can make a few adjustments and changes if we need to, so that our future will be different. And then at the end of this message, God's going to give you a promise. If you do, there is going to be a huge blessing on your life. So he doesn't just say, do this. He says, for reward. God is a good father and he loves to reward those who diligently seek him. And so like Marley, people in the Old Testament and the New speak to us. And I'm going to just share a few of the characters in the Old Testament. One guy called Saul, he was a king, in the king of Israel. And you know, he started really well. And I want you to know that many do. Many start well, but they don't make it. That's sobering, and it's also a heartache. They start to compromise and take a few steps out. And very soon, they've gone off track completely. And Saul began well. God used him. But in a pinch moment, when he felt people were going to leave him. You see, he was a people pleaser, not a God pleaser. He chose to disobey God for the approval of man. And from that moment, things started to go completely wrong. And Saul, remarkably, had hate and murder in his heart for David, the future king that God had chosen. And he pursued. I mean, his Twitter account would have been what you read on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Hate, attack, accusation, bringing people down. I mean, this is how we work today. So if Saul had a Twitter account, that's what it would have been. And he pursued David. He wanted to kill him. And you know, he even consulted a witch. Now that is horrendous. So he went into the spirit world, mediums, the occult, horoscopes, and all of that stuff which is not right. God hates that. And God rejected him. He never got right with God. Another guy we'd be surprised to hear about was a man called Solomon. He began amazingly. When we read about him dedicating the temple, the glory of God filled the temple in a cloud, the worship, the prayer. It was just incredible. God did amazing things to bring peace to the nation through Solomon. But you know, he had a desire for other things. And his heart desire was for women. I honestly can't believe it, but it is written he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. So the man loved women. And he went way off track, having begun well. His love for women meant that they turned, interestingly, they turned his heart away from the Lord. Isn't it important we see in Scripture the really amazing people who God used and their hearts were sold out for God began to move away into love for other things? There was a guy in the New Testament called Demas. You can see it on the scripture from 2 Timothy 4:10. Demas worked with Paul, the apostle. This is happening in the New Testament. So somebody who's born again and spirit-filled. Can I say that again? Somebody who is born again and spirit-filled and had the greatest teaching, apart from being the, I think with Jesus, Paul would have been really up there, to be following with him on his special team. Do you not think it's amazing the privilege that that guy had? But in that moment, when he was serving on that team, other things started to come into his heart. And a desire, you see, it begins in your heart before it starts with your feet. Because your feet, wherever you are, is a result or the fruit of your heart. People think their feet lead, but actually your heart leads your life. Because Jesus said, out of the heart flow the issues of life. And so Demas, having been on fire for God, ended up deserting God's people because of love for other things. The things of this world or the things of this life, which is what Jesus said, will actually stop your destiny. Okay, I know this is hot and strong this morning, but we're going to end up good. You're going to be happy by the end. But it's really important that, like Marley, Saul, Solomon, Demas, we read these things and say, oh my goodness, did they wake up one day all of a sudden and say, I'm going to backslide? No. It just little, I would say millimeter by millimeter, centimeter by centimeter, then a meter, then a mile or a kilometer. It just kept going and going and going, because once there's a little that you keep feeding, there'll be a lot, and your heart will depart from the Lord. Isn't it interesting the Lord spoke to the church in Revelation? I have one thing against you. You've left your first love. That passion and that zeal had gone out of their hearts. And then the Lord said, repent. Make some changes. Just like Marley said, if you change, Scrooge, you'll be in a different place in your future. Demas left God's place because he loved this world. Many begin well. And Pastor Colin and I had a conversation this week about it, because there are many in this time that are walking away, which is why I'm having to bring a word that is never comfortable to bring. But there are reasons for it. Demas couldn't blame Paul. He probably tried. It's too much, demanding too much from me. This Christian life is too much. I mean, you have high expectations in kingdom faith. I don't know if you think that Jesus has high expectations, more than kingdom faith. No one can be a disciple unless you lose your life in this world, you'll then find it. So in other words, you can't follow Jesus. This is the real gospel. Because the joy of the new life only happens when we deny ourselves and take up our cross to follow Jesus. That is the Christian walk. That is the message of Jesus. But it's amazing in my life as well as yours how the cares and concerns of life and desire for other things take the place that used to be only Jesus and his kingdom. But I want to tell you, we can get back. We can get back to Jesus and get back on track. That's why this is good news. It's a Scrooge Christmas story. It's because there can be a repentance to life again. Why, Lord? Pastor Colin and I were quite challenged. I know of a church in Milan that's reduced from 1,000 to 350 in this time. Why, Lord? Well, there's a scripture that gives the answer. Don't let me answer, let the word answer. Can I have 2 Chronicles 12, verse 14? The word says, and he did evil. This is Rehoboam. This is a king in Israel. He did evil because he did not set his heart to seek, inquire of, and yearn for the Lord with his desire. Seek, inquire, ask, and yearn for the Lord. Seek God. I love him. And I want to do his will, basically. Now, this word set means to actually prepare or get ready before. So you've got predetermined things that you actually say, this is my life, and nothing else can change it. But what came in was slowly everything changed, that seeking and inquiring of God. Other things will crash in, even in lockdown. Even when we have time, still other things can crash in. I know because it's happened to me. In my walk, in my life, I have needed to make changes, to repent, and come back to the place where I'm not worried about anything. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, I was worried about America, worried about the government, worried about the NHS, worried about my family, worried about my friends, worried about you. And there's enough of you to be quite a burden. I carry you. We carry you in here, in prayer, in our hearts. And sometimes it feels like, oh, heck. But cast all your cares onto Jesus. So I knew I had to get it all out and walk in freedom because that was coming into my heart. It was choking the life. And it was stopping me seeking God because all I was doing was seeking answers to problems. He didn't set his heart, didn't fix his heart, decide this is what I do. Now, I'm going to finish with the Old Testament for now. David, now, King David, wasn't he a man after God's heart? Didn't he seek God with all his heart? For 20 years, we can read of his walk. And isn't it amazing that after 20 years, you can actually hit trouble, even though you've walked for a long time with God? Inquiring of him, seeking his face, worship, longing to be with the saints, gathering. He would have found a way to be online on a Sunday morning. He wouldn't have waited for another time. He'd have said, the saints are there, I'm going to be there. Because he knew that that was where he wanted to be. Didn't have other agendas, but you know, when he was successful, I'm just going to tell you the story rather than read it. But when he was successful, when he was strong. Now, this is a point where often people go wrong. When they start to kind of succeed in life. David didn't have to go to war anymore. He could just stay at home. And he made a decision to stay at home. And not go out to war when kings go to war. Scripture says, when kings, at the time when kings should go to war, David decided he had a choice. Will I do what I've always done, be on the front foot, out fighting the good fight with my brothers, out in the prayer line, because that's where the fight is, together praying, will I be there? Or will I have a night off? Or a week off or a season off? Because after all, I've done my bit. You can read my history. This is the word today. You can read what I did do. I deserve a break. And David, it says, you can read it in, I think it's 1 Samuel or 2 Samuel 11. David actually slept all day. He was that rested, he went into what I call a coma, where you sofa surf so much that all you want to do is sleep. And that speaks of a spiritual laziness that descended on this great man of God. He was spiritually lazy when he should have been out with the fight, advancing the kingdom. He was at home lying down, going through the channels, ordering a pizza. He could have had any pizza he wanted. But that's where he was. He found something else to do that was what he wanted to do. He wasn't in the will of God. And at this point, when he got up, the scripture says he got up in the evening. When most people are coming down to go to bed, David's up. I've slept all day, now I'm bored. I can imagine, I'm bored. I've watched TV all day, I'm bored. What can I? And Satan loves it when you're spiritually bored. If your relationship with God is boring, I contest there's something wrong with you. Not God. And he was bored looking out. Sees Bathsheba, you know the story. Invites her in, sleeps with another man's wife, then murders her husband to kind of cover his tracks, gets incensed when confronted with somebody else he thought somebody else's sin. Well, see what they're doing. It's often the most judgmental people have got a problem themselves. And Nathan said, the prophet, you're that man. And sometimes we need people to speak into our lives like that and say, you're the one. And David, this is one of the success stories. You know he repented. You can read it in one of the Psalms, Psalms 51. He repented, got his heart right. Got his heart back to seeking God. Sadly, there were always consequences in the family. But Jesus still accepted him and carried on his plan for his life. Praise God. But let's trace that move back to backsliding, to his backslidden state. What started it wasn't seeing Bathsheba and having a desire for what he shouldn't have. What started it was doing nothing when he should have been doing something. Oh, that's the message, isn't it? Doing nothing when he should have been doing something for God. And at that point, oh, Satan will be like that roaring lion, because he seeks to devour, to destroy. And he knows if you're sleeping spiritually, you are extremely vulnerable. But you can repent before you get into your Bathsheba moment. And even if you've gone there, our God is a merciful God, and we can come back to wholeheartedly seeking the Lord. If you do nothing, if I was Marley here talking to Scrooge, do nothing, you will fail. And in this day, It's really easy to be so consumed by what's going on that we forsake the priority of our lives, which is to seek Him, to know Him, and to do His will on earth as it is in heaven. It's so easy, let me tell you. It can happen to me, and it can happen to the best of us. And it may not be you this morning, but we are at war. And that's why we need church to unite. We must pray when there is a call to prayer. We must pray and not lie down or find something else to do. We're in a day of trouble. The church should be on their knees. Amen. Just pause there. Prayer changes everything. If my people will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, seek my face and pray, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. The nation's destiny is in our hands. This is, sorry about this word, but it's what God's got for us. The destiny of our nation, of our families, of our own lives, is within our power to bring change and see a change. Don't coast. Don't do nothing. Have you ever imagined being at 30,000 feet up in an aeroplane? You imagine. That's where David was spiritually. He was up here. Momentum, carrying the nation. But his engine's cut. Stop seeking God. Stop being spiritually on the front foot. When your engine's cut, you might not know it straight away. You begin a slow decline, don't you? And you will crash and burn unless you go and pick it up again. And if your engine's cut and you stopped being where God has called you to be in relationship with Him and doing what God has asked you to do, you can start again. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. That's what happened to David. He started again. He could have just been at crash and burn moment, crisis moment, but those engines came back in and he fulfilled the destiny. And it's a place of honor in the kingdom of heaven. We will meet him one day. And I hope we'll be like Scrooge and say, thanks, David, because your mistake didn't become mine. Thanks. I read it. And I heard it in church on one Sunday, and I decided to make some changes. So I'm very grateful that you showed me that laziness is a problem. I'll leave it there. We can reset. I'm going to finish with the words of Jesus. If you look at Matthew chapter 6, a greatly loved and important word in our day today. Matthew 6. How are you doing? Is this a good message or what? Is this, I'm telling you at home, asking you at home, I trust that this is going to rescue some people from having an outcome you wouldn't want. It's also going to adjust some things maybe in my heart, your heart. But also, I believe it's going to bring blessing. Incredible blessing. You know, Pastor Colin and I, as we were talking, we had such sadness actually. And he said, but the thing is, God's always used a few faithful on fire for God to turn things around. And I know he can find some here. I'm going to say that again. I know you're here. I know you're with us. I know you're faithful. And you understand why now people go off. Because they stop. They cut their engine. Even before you see the crash and burn. Even before they leave, they've cut their engines. So we understand spiritually what's going on in a day of trouble. In a day of trouble, what's the most important thing? My heart. My heart for God. My heart for God. So Jesus says, here's your cure. And I'm going to speak right into, as Pastor Andrea started, this pandemic. Because his word is so vital today. Therefore, Jesus said to his people, do not worry and be anxious. Don't worry and be anxious. Saying, what are we going to eat? What's going to happen next? What if there's nobody there? What if? What are we going to have to drink? What are we going to have to wear? Your heavenly Father already knows. Can I have the next verse, please? For the Gentiles, that means people who are unsaved. It's my translation says they seek after, they long for all these things. So the world doesn't have God. We do. And so the only thing they can do is seek after what the world can give them. Because they don't have a father who loves them. They're not children of God. But we've got a father who cares. We've got a father who intimately cares about every detail and wants to do you good. Love always does. God is love. He wants to do you good. And Jesus says, do not, in other words, a bit of a command, guys. Don't let this time worry you. Isn't that a statement? Don't let what you're going through worry you. Because everybody's worried, except you. Wouldn't it be great? Church, not worried. Why? There's a reason why. It's not just because we shouldn't. It's because we got a Father who provides for us. That's why we don't worry. And we believe that He will. He's not a Father in heaven who isn't going to do stuff for us. He will provide for us. The Gentiles, unbelievers, seek. They run after things. And you know, Satan will offer the world and destroy you. Jesus will offer you the kingdom and bless you. And so Jesus says the cure of it all is the next verse. But seek, aim at, strive after first all. His kingdom and His righteousness, His way of doing and being right. And then all these things will be added. They'll be taken together, be given to you besides. A translation that I love is the addition. All these things will be added. So, this is why the Christian life doesn't make sense to people. Because it's a life that is faith. Faith seeks God, seeks for His reign and His kingdom first over my life. His will be done in me first. And then seeks to advance His kingdom through me, supplying life to those at home, church, and in the community, the world around us. Seeking first. It's a priority of time, effort, and energy. If I'm seeking my car keys, I will apply myself. If I'm seeking a Christmas present for someone, I will apply myself. But if I'm seeking God and His kingdom, it will mean I will be living differently. My feet will follow my heart. And you know, we mustn't allow the cares to be victim of worry in this age. You can be a victim of concern and care. Or you can be a child of God who lives in blessing by first putting Him daily at the helm of everything you are. Time with Him. Time seeking Him all day. Seeking, what do you want to do here now, Lord? What do you want to do in this situation? How do you want me to witness to this guy? Seeking His kingdom, His reign, winning people to Christ. Then, if we fulfill the first bit, addition. And what I love about this, all things will be added. So things are the things you need, or the things that will make you blessed in life. If you imagine, David had sought the kingdom first, so that's the kingdom, seeking God. And David had other things come in, take over, just like everybody who backslides. But then David put that back. But what can happen is desire for other things, but also the cares and worries of this life can so take over, it stops you from seeking first the kingdom. God's will be done. All you want is, God, answer me, I'm desperate. I need help, rather than, Lord, what do you want to do today? I want to know you. I want to press on to know you. Because in that, everything else is added. You know, wealth has hijacked so many good saints. Desire for things has hijacked. It could be TV. Worldliness isn't just your Bathsheba's. It's your TV. It's your leisure. It's your pleasure. It's your work before God. Anything. Your family. It doesn't matter what it is. It can come in. And it can consume you. It can kind of just completely take over. Whereas if we put God first, the addition is, it like comes behind us, and because we keep going that way, it's just nothing but blessing to us and everybody else around us. Addition is better than being consumed by. It's not taking you over, it's enabling God's kingdom vision for your life, your family, your work, everything. We are in a day of trouble. And the trouble is not just out there, it can be in our hearts. And we can have things going on the inside that you and God know about. And I'm not saying I know everything. I can see some faces when you come in, or I can imagine some of you in the spirit out there. And like, your hearts are failing through fear. How will I make this? Well, your Father cares. Don't seek after what the world seeks after. Seek Him and His will for your life. And He promises He'll provide. It might not be everything you have in your head that you think you need, but God will take care. If you care about His business, He will care about yours. Amen. And so, Scrooge woke up to a new day. And he said, I'm not going to carry on like this. I'm going to make a change. But this is the path of blessing. This is where we get blessed and the world will receive a great outpouring of the Spirit through these kinds of people. Through these kinds of faithful, loyal seekers after God and His will. They are the ones who will turn the world upside down. Praise God for warnings, but praise God for the promise. And you know, sometimes if you're anything like me, you're saying, oh, am I doing everything right, Lord? I think it's just a case of I predetermine what I'm going to do every day. I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek Him for His will for my day. I'm just going to take it simple. What do I do on a Sunday? I still worship together with the saints. What do I do if there's training? I'm still there. If there's a prayer meeting, you'll find me praying. What do? I make these choices because clash will always come in and you'll always have an alternative. But someone who seeks after God cannot allow those alternatives in and doesn't become lazy. And so stay on the front foot. Don't let these days take over you. Let God take over you so that He will add everything. There's nothing He won't give you. And you will live blessed. And people will be surprised at what happens to you and around you. But you will live in peace because you know I'm after God. I'm after God in this generation. Shall we stand? Thank you, Jesus. Just going to pray. Ash, do you mind just playing for us? Let's just stand for a few minutes and respond. Lord, in a way, Lord, it's not the kind of message we thought we'd hear on a day like today, when a lockdown is announced and people genuinely have business needs, work needs, family needs, personal needs. But Lord, thank you for the wisdom that comes from your word and from these people that have lived, that can be an example to us so that we prevent our lives from making the same mistakes. And Lord, if other things have come in, whether it's the worries of our day and time, what will happen to the next generation? We're going to run out of money, all of the big things and the little things. Father, we trust you. Just tell him, Lord, I won't be overtaken by cares, worries. Forgive me for not trusting you and seeking after things, desire. If I've been pursuing money in any way, leisure, pleasure, even good things that aren't bad necessarily, but have taken over my devotion to you and my commitment to walk as a Christian. Lord, forgive. Jesus, you really are the answer for us. To seek you first is the joy of our hearts. And we're really sorry if in any way our hearts have got heavy with care and concern, and if we've kind of had other things in front of you and your plan and your kingdom. Lord, you love us so much that you want to change our future when we're wrong, so that we don't end up in trouble. Forgive us, Lord. Just set our hearts again to be like David, back out in the field with the brothers in arms, fighting the good fight of faith together. Hallelujah. Praying without ceasing. Jesus, we're here to seek your faith. Thank you for the promise that those who do, all things will be added. Just declare it over your life. As I seek my great King and His will for my life, all things will be added. Praise you. Praise you. Thank you for your faithfulness in my history. But today, Lord, I want to be found faithful. Faithful today, in this generation, in this time, in this day of trouble. Lord, may my heart not be readjusted by the trouble, But may I set my heart to seek you always. Thank you that we are heading for the greatest outpouring of your Spirit. That we are moving towards days where many will be saved. There will be such an outpouring. And Lord, in this day of test and trial, I pray I will make it. Come on, say, Lord, I pray that I will make it, that I'll set my heart right so that I can see and live to see what you have promised in our day. Praise you. Just pray in the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Humble myself before you, Father. It's too important to miss what you're doing. It's too important not to understand. We throw off every heavy weight. We throw it off in the name of Jesus, and we run looking to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. We run our race to win the prize. We're going to be running. We're not going to be sleeping. We're not going to be lazy. We're going to be running, 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 running for Jesus. Running our race, Lord, with our eyes on Jesus, the author, perfecter of our faith. Lord, you're so worthy. You're worthy of our lives, worthy of our hearts, worthy of our time, and worthy of our devotion. Thank you, Lord. Praise the name of Jesus forever and ever. Let the name of the Lord be praised. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, may it be a genuine cry of our heart, a genuine change from today on, a new pursuit in our hearts to seek you, for who you are, because we love you, to seek you knowing that you'll add everything that we need and be carefree. Other things won't come in and steal the place that you actually are Lord to take. You're the Lord. You're the Lord of our hearts, Lord of our minds, Lord of our lives. And Lord, make it a thing of joy. Because there's always joy in your presence. When we seek you, there's a joy in hearing you, a joy of knowing your will, a joy of advancing the kingdom, a joy in prayer. Lord, this is not about duty. It's about life. The life of your kingdom, your Spirit, and your will and word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And for those backsliders who've returned today, may they know there is great joy in your heart, Lord, to receive them with joy. Thank you that their future is going to be completely different because they've responded to you. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, we thank you that this army is going to get back some Davids. Amen. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's thank him for that. Thank him for that. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We need some Davids. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. We love you. Even though sometimes it might seem like I'm quite tough to listen to, and I wish I was better. I wish there was a better way of delivering it, but I believe that God's word somehow has got out. That's the perfect. The word of the Lord is perfect. And I believe it's revived us today to go on to seek the Lord. And, you know, you're important. Your heart is important to God and his plan. And next week, we're going to talk about the nation. Because it's these kinds of people that will change a nation. So that's on for next week. Connect groups this week. Thanks for being with us online and listening to us online. And I'll miss you. Not seeing you live, but we'll try and remember your faces as we're speaking to empty chairs. We'll look out there going, they're there really. As we think of you there, we do know you are there, so we're grateful. God bless you. Thank you, worship team. And all the ministry, sound team. And let's keep going after God together. God bless you.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.